Good morning. Good morning. Is everybody having a good day in the Lord? I hear it's your birthday. Hey, listen, it's an honor because our dog has its birthday today. Her name's Ruby. 3 years old. No, it's good to have birthdays, isn't it? It is good to have birthdays. It's good to have a laugh in the Lord. Yes, this morning I've got a little story to tell you first, and then I believe it's a true story. And then Mr. Coster asked me this morning, what's the title of your sermon? And I said, I don't know. It's a no-name sermon. I got it at No Frills. But I hope it speaks to you and I. I know it does, at least to me anyway. But let's go open in the word of prayer first. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. It is a glorious day. It is the day the Lord hath made. And we just thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for each one that is here today. And for those that couldn't make it, we pray that you'll be with them once again. And Lord, we just pray as always, and it should be, for that what is said and done, it is for your glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, our precious Savior. Amen. This is a story I found, and I believe it is a true story. It's a short one, but it comes from Christian Short Stories, and it's a good one. And in fact, we were just singing a couple of songs here that has a bearing on this story. Even though it was a cold winter's night, a large crowd showed up at the Barnwells farm Saturday night. People of all ages were having fun, playing games, singing, laughing, and just plain having a good time there in the big red barn. As usual, things quieted down quickly, come story time. One of the people who told a story last week made mention of 16-year-old Shelby and how she is always so focused and attentive when they tell a story. They said it is amazing how much she conveys with her eyes. The look in her eyes encourages, inspires, saying volumes about her warm, caring heart. The comment inspired James and Carolyn Craig to tell a story that took place many years ago in Northern Virginia. A man covered with ice and snow was about to freeze to death when he could not find a way to cross the river and get home. A large group of riders on horseback came galloping past him, but he waited until the last one before he asked for helping in crossing the river. The horsemen helped the man up onto his horse and then took him across the knee-high river water, which was starting to freeze over. The horsemen not only carried the man across the river, but he also took him to his house, which was a few miles beyond the river. The horsemen asked him why he had not asked any of the other riders for help. The man replied he looked into each of their eyes, but it was only in his eyes that he could see a caring heart. The man did not know that the horseman who took him across the river that night was the President of the United States, Jefferson Davis, Thomas Jefferson Davis. It was at this point that Dillard and Mary McIntosh, who usually entertain everyone with a good-natured humor, said how the Lord instructs us how to live and show us what is important through the use of our eyes and His. They said for us to look up all the reference to eyes in the Bible, and we will have our eyes opened in a mighty way. David asked the Lord to keep him as the apple of his eye. God calls Israel the apple of his eye and says he will bless them that bless thee and curse those that curse thee, which the nations of the world ignore to their peril. Jesus, he spoke in perils because even though seeing, people did not see. He also said to lift up our eyes and look, for the fields are white under harvest, and he who reaps souls for him gathers fruit for eternal life. Fanny Crosby, the greatest hymn writer of all time, was blind, yet she could not see things most people have not seen with their eyes wide open. She wrote, perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight, angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And to those that find the Lord Jesus Christ and put their faith in him, he says, eyes have not seen nor entered into the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. I thought that was a good story, and I like history. I love history, and when I heard that and read that it was the President of the United States, Thomas Jefferson, I thought, well, that's a good story, and I believe it's a true story. So it's just something to consider. I have a number of scriptures this morning, so if you have a pen, you can write the references down, and you can look them up later. But in Isaiah 12, verse 5, Isaiah 12 is one of my favorite chapters, but Isaiah 12, 5 states, "Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth." And then over in the book of Psalms 104, verse 33, "I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being." So, some of you know I always like to ask questions when I first start out. And who here likes to sing? Okay, that accounts for a lot. No, everybody, I think, yeah, people like to sing. Singing in the rain, you know, when nobody's around. Or, you know, singing in a choir. I like the praise team. You guys do a great job. Thank you very much. I appreciate that immensely. Good songs make the heart glad. Makes the soul stir within. Good, God-honoring songs. Yes, it's good to sing. Ephesians 5:19 states, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord." Now, maybe you even like to compose a song or parts of songs. You know, lyrics are so important in the makeup of songs, naturally. Many songs over the years, especially secular songs, haven't had a good message. Very poor message in many cases. While others, usually hymns like the ones we've been singing, have lyrics that honor God and are uplifting. Lyrics and hymns are not always perfect, and sometimes little errors do occur. But overall, their lyrics are very important. Yes, lyrics are important. Keep the word lyrics in mind. Keep the word lyrics in mind as we go on. So another question. So who was a famous songwriter that you can think of? One that had a lot of well-read and songs that were sung over the years. Now, if you said Burt Bacharach or Paul McCartney, you'd be wrong. Well, they had a few, but not the good ones, as far as I'm concerned. Now, if you said Fanny Crosby, which we've sung, and you know, she's written many beautiful hymns over the years. "Redeemed," the one we sang this morning at the breaking of bread. Now, if you said King David, you would be right on. So let's turn to one of David's beautiful, inspiring songs and take a look at some points of fact David brings forth. Some encouraging, helpful facts for you and I as believers. And I pray each one here has put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Because time is ticking down. Time is ticking down. Remember, I mentioned to remember the word lyrics and the importance of them. Well, the songs that David penned and that are in the Holy Scriptures have lyrics that are literally life-changing. For they divinely inspired lyrics. In 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. As mentioned, King David penned many a song. So let's turn to 2 Samuel. The book of 2 Samuel comes after the book of 1 Samuel. 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, we'll go over to 2 Samuel. I've lost it here. Oh, there it is. 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel 22. Now, the heading in some commentaries and maybe in some of your Bibles, it states, this is David's psalm of deliverance or psalm of praise. And you think, well, it should be in the book of Psalms. Well, this is 2 Samuel. This is the song that David sung. It's a long song. It's a lot of verses. So we'll be looking at just some key verses here in 2 Samuel. Let's first read the first four verses of 2 Samuel 1 to 4. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. I love that verse. That's a great verse. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge and my savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And then we just go over to verses 17 to 19. 17 to 19. He sent from above, he took me and drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemies and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. And then just down to 34. For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save my God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. And then, verse 40, for thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. And then finally, just 47 to the final 51. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them, and that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen. I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of my salvation, for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David and to his seed forevermore. I encourage you to read all the chapter. It's a powerful, powerful song that David wrote. Now, if you were thinking, well, this sounds a little bit like a psalm that David wrote, well, you would be right. He wrote Psalm 18, and it's almost not quite word for word, but very, very close to the wording of Psalm 18. Now, I have a few quotes, and I like to quote. I like to read what people that know a lot more than I do about Scripture. And there's different commentaries that, and I encourage you to get a good commentary book or commentaries, and there's even online there's some good ones. But G. Campbell Morgan, a great preacher of the past, stated, this psalm is a great summary of David's whole character and attitude through life. Such convictions of the absolute sovereignty of Jehovah, of his omnipotent power to deliver, of the necessity for obedience to his law, and of assurance that in the case of such obedience, he ever acts for his people, constituted the underlying strength of David's character. See, those statements sum up, and that's for you and I as a believer. Mr. Boyce stated, the psalm appears almost as David's final words. Hence, it is a summary thanksgiving for God's many deliverances of him through his long life of service. Oh, what a testimony. This inspired ode was manifestly the effusion of a mind glowing with the highest fervor of piety and gratitude. It is full of the noblest imagery that is to be found within the range even of sacred poetry. It is David's grand tribute of thanksgiving for deliverance from his numerous and powerful enemies and established him in the power and glory of his kingdom. Mr. Jameson stated that, R.J. Jameson. Could we say this about our lives? We need to be encouraged when we read the scriptures. Now, in general terms, this chapter can be divided into a number of sections, each dealing with the Lord. Very beautiful and certainly worth dwelling on. Now, there's four E's here, and I read this. Mr. Constable stated this, Dr. Constable. He said that there's four E's. Four E's. you know, these are good E's, not the ones you usually get in, you know, when you're in school, when you got a bunch of E's, but these are four good E's. And you can write this down. The Lord's exaltation, the Lord's exalting the Lord. That's verses 1 to 4, which we read. The Lord's exploits, what the Lord has done. 5 to 20. The Lord's equity, 21 to 30. And finally, the Lord's excellence, 31 to 51. Now, carrying on. So verse 1 tells us when David spoke these words, when the Lord had delivered him from his enemies. Do you or I as believers have enemies we need to be delivered from? You know, they can be physical enemies, certainly depending on where we live, but also spiritual enemies that seek to derail yours and my testimony for our Savior. In the physical realm, you know, it takes strength to be a deliverer, a person who can help defend and keep people safe from evil or harm. Police or military, for example, have power and strength, both physically and judicially, to defend and protect, a deliverer in a sense. A strong human deliverer can mean the difference between life and death or harm for those under their care. Now, so much more, beyond our understanding, that strength and power that the maker of the universe has to be our deliverer. As believers in Jesus Christ, we experience many battles from many different directions. We may not be like David on an actual battlefield, but nonetheless, the battles we are engaged in are just as dangerous in a different sense, and just as physically, emotionally, spiritually exhausting. But the key word here, the key word is delivered, not it's finalized, delivered. A clear statement for us to hold on to. David's Lord is our Lord as believers in Jesus Christ. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, 37 to 39. And that is you can't lose your salvation. If you're saved in Christ, this shows you nothing can separate us from that. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Isaiah 26:4. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now, who here likes strong things? You know, items that are hard to destroy. Items that can stand the test of time and will keep up regardless of what comes against them. Now, if you lived in a high crime area, it would be important to invest in strong locks and even strong bars on the windows. It's worth the cost, so to speak. It is comforting, to say the least, to have a good, strong, well-lasting items. It is comforting, to say the least, to have good, strong items, as I say. It's worth the cost. Especially in these days when many things around us only last a very short time. Built to fail seems to be the unwritten motto. Yes, strong is good in many ways. To David and to us as believers, the Lord is strength beyond what we can imagine. Do we understand this? Do we tell others who struggle with the weak things of this world? Do we stand strong in the Lord, not in ourselves, in the battles we fight? Again, David saw this, thus verse 40, which we read. The Apostle Paul wrote this in Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Mr. Spurgeon stated, it is not the strength of your faith that saves you, but the strength of Him upon whom you rely. Now, we're carrying on. We see in this section the words rock and fortress here, which I like. I like the words rock and fortress. Rock, the word occurs 5 times in the King James, 5 times in this chapter alone. You know, rocks are a symbol of God's strength and dependability. We are to build our lives on the solid rock, like the wise men in the New Testament. So, who is the solid rock? David knew this. The question is, do we? So I have a question here. Who from here from time to time has a feeling of weariness? Has a feeling of weariness. You know, the bone aching weariness. Burdened about something or someone. It produces many times weariness. You know that worn out feeling? Hardly able to lift your head, sometimes overwhelmed. Just want to sleep through it. Again, David undoubtedly experienced weariness in times of being overwhelmed. So what has this to do with a rock? Well, let's think about it for a moment. Many years later, Isaiah wrote about the solid rock in Isaiah 32:2. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covered from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. A solid or great rock in a weary land. How encouraging. You know, I was reading that in a desert and nothing around and the heat of the day is just coming down upon you. And apparently when you find a giant rock or some big rock, just to be able to hide under it or just to be able to sit under it, it produces a cooling effect. It keeps the sun from you. And people in the desert, when they're out there, they actually look for these rocks, apparently. Preacher's commentary stated, such a retreat does our Redeemer afford to those who are fainting under the labors and discouragements of this wearisome life. Yes, when we are weary and worn down, let us go to the true rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, and seek strength from Him to overcome the weariness. Now, in times of old, fortresses and castles were strong and better defended than those who built they were built on solid rock. You know, the walls could not be easily undermined. If you built your castle or your fortress on ground or just gravel or sand, a person could tunnel underneath it. But if you built it on a solid rock, it was very difficult to dig under and undermine the walls and have them collapse. Our lives are the same when we build our upon the solid rock, Jesus Christ. Our lives cannot be undermined by the evil one when we build our lives on the solid rock. David saw the Lord as his fortress. Today, as a population, we generally do not have fortresses they did in the past. You know, I like to study ancient fortifications. It's kind of like a passion of mine. I like to study them. I like to study what makes them weak, what makes them strong, what is good, what is bad, how they stood the test of time, so on and so forth. Yes, strongholds were very, very important in times past. They offered protection from raiding parties and other enemies versus like having a tent or a house out in the field somewhere. Walls offered protection. So where does our protection lie? In facing the enemy that seeks to destroy. Yes, strong doors and windows can protect us physically, but in the light of eternity, again, where does our protection lie? Again, David knew this. Do we? Psalm 61, verses 1 to 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. here's another reference to a rock. I have a card on my desk with the following scripture on it, and I like to look at it from time to time. The book of Nahum. Book of Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7. You know, the book of Nahum is a very, very interesting book. It's only three chapters long. Powerful book. You know, it's a great book. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Do we have troubles? Do we have days of troubles? Do we have weeks of troubles? Nahum 1:7. Now, I would like to move back to a word mentioned earlier, and that being deliverer. Deliverer, back in verse 1. Deliverance. Yes, have you ever been delivered from someone or something? At the first, I asked if you or I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, have enemies we need to be delivered from. As born-again believers, we have certainly been delivered from the sting of death, eternal death, from the wages of sin, through the shed blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. But maybe we need deliverance from fear, from worry, lack of care for others, greed. The list can go on. Now, in David's case, he was delivered from many an enemy. Mr. David Guzik stated, David experienced deliverance from Goliath. He was a big guy. That was a physical deliverance and a spiritual in many respects. God delivered David from Saul, who at one time was his mentor. God delivered David from backsliding. God delivered David from Israel's enemies. God delivered David from Absalom and his own son. That must have been hard. God delivered David from David's own sinful passions. His own sinful passions. David was a person just like you and I. Yes, David knew who could deliver him in his hour of need, in his time of trouble. The key point is, do we need to be reminded who is our great Redeemer, our Deliverer? Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, a homework lesson for you to do, or something. If you've got a few minutes spare, if you're just sitting around doing nothing, which I don't think anybody here is, but if you do have a few moments, write down what the Lord has delivered you from on a personal level. Or maybe what you need deliverance from today. David knew who he could call upon and who was worthy to be praised. Verse 4, which we read, a familiar statement and one that is beautiful and uplifting, for we have a Savior who is worthy in so many ways. Let us give praise to the one who is worthy. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. It is well to pray to God as to one who deserves to be praised, for then we plead in a happy and confident manner. If I feel that I can do and bless the Lord for all his good past goodness, I am bold to ask great things of him. Mr. Spurgeon stated that. Again, we see in verse 17 to 19, which we read, that King David's victory was due to the Lord's work and that he was delivered by the Lord. Let us hold dear these truths. Now, who here, when we were reading verse 34, thought of another portion of Scripture? I had to look it up, actually. I thought, oh, this reminds me of a Scripture. And it's in Habakkuk. And it sounds familiar. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Habakkuk 3:19. Hinds' feet. Again, David Guzik stated, and I thought he added this very well, David thought of how the deer, or the hind, seemed to skip from place to place and never lose their footing. God gave him the same kind of skill in working through the challenges brought by his enemies. Let us trust in the Lord to give us hind's feet, so to speak, in dealing with the challenges that we face. Let us not lose our spiritual footing. In the last section of this powerful song, verses 47 to the end, there's so much to be noted. Verse 7, 47, the Lord liveth. He's not a dead God. He lives. He rules the universe. And he's concerned even about you and I. The Lord liveth. Yes, he does. He's alive, and we serve a risen Savior. That's what we've just been celebrating a couple of weeks ago. We serve a risen Savior. Do you serve and love the Lord who liveth? David did. This verse 47 reminds me of the song, Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Yes, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Mr. Spurgeon, and I like to quote him. He's a great guy. If you have a chance and you have an opportunity, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, great theologian from the past, very practical in his application for you and I as believers. He stated, to be saved singing is to be saved indeed. Many are saved mourning and doubting. But David had such faith that he could fight singing and with the battle with a song still on his lips. That's why I asked her the first, who likes to sing? I'm not saying that when we go out to battle, we've had some problems and we're fighting. Let's have a little song. No, sometimes, at least in my case, when I'm facing some really difficult situation or something is really bothering me or in something, I try to mentally sing a song, a hymn, some verse or some portion of the hymn, and it lifts the spirit. Why? It's because we're replacing these doubts and fears with godly words, good words that are lifting to the soul because it lifts the Lord. It shows us that the Lord is in control. Verse 50, when we read verse 50, you can find that quoted in Romans 15:9. Romans 15:9 quotes this verse. In ending, we have a verse that needs to be circled as well. Verse 51, the last verse. He is the tower of salvation for his king. He showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David and to his seed forevermore. You can insert your name in there. I don't think it's wrong. You can insert your name in there instead of David. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are gifted to go and serve a risen Savior in the power, not of ourselves, but the power of the Lord. Yes, the Lord shows mercy to his anointed. It is not through David's righteousness that he had a loving relationship with God, but it was based on God's great mercy and grace. It is the same for the believer today. So ends this song of David, a song that has stood the test of time. Let the words sink into our hearts, and may they be a melody for the thirsty soul as we go forth. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this powerful song that David penned under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, may they be not just words we read, but let us take them into heart. Are so important, has been mentioned, though the first step is to know that we are saved by the grace of God, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ through his shed blood. That is the first step. But as we go forth into this world that is full of troubles and trials and heartaches and worrisome situations, let us rest in the God of our salvation, our high tower, our solid rock. For he is our deliverer. He is our strength forevermore. We thank you. We praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our precious Savior. Amen. Have a great week in the Lord. Amen. Amen.